Portage Health Foundation is proud to introduce you to Superior Educator Tristan Baranowski from CLK Elementary School. Ms. Baranowski is an educator who completely understands that teachers who show their students that they care about them have students that perform to the best of their abilities. Students of all abilities are celebrated and encouraged to reach for the stars. Her positive tone of teaching makes students comfortable and helps them go in the right direction. If you know an amazing educator like Ms. Baranowski, go to superioreducators.org and nominate them to be recognized as the next Superior Educator.
Welcome back to segment two of Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke. We're brought to you by the Portage Health Foundation. Learn more about them and what they do at phfgive.org. We've been taking a look at several of the more interesting millage proposals that voters in the area will be seeing on the ballot coming up on November 8th. And actually one organization that has two millage proposals on the ballot, Hancock Public School District. And I welcome in Superintendent Dr. Steve Patchen. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
I want to start by asking you about a school millage question that a lot of voters are going to see in the area that is not yours.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of districts are putting up the 18 mil kind of perfunctory renewal that they have to do periodically.
Mm-hmm.
For those who've lost track of what that is, what is it? Because you have to do it periodically, but you're not doing it this time.
We don't have to, and that's such a great question, and people don't quite understand it. So by law, we're only allowed to charge 18 mils, and for school operations. But the way mils work is 18 mils. We go out for 18 mils, and we're going out for a set amount of money. So as our property values increase, which they do increase, the property values will increase. That means the amount of money that we're pulling in, and let's say $4 million annually for a second, that $4 million stays at $4 million. So as the property value increases, that becomes less of a mill to get that $4 million, if that makes sense.
So yeah.
You don't have to charge as much in taxes to get that $4 million.
Right.
So we're seeing property values increase in the area because people are moving up here. The housing prices are going up. We've got more businesses going up, like an Orbion expanding and things of that sort. So the tax base is increasing. So that $4 million as percentage of that tax base becomes a smaller amount of mill. So it drops down. So it's a good thing that a property values increase, that the value of your home increases, the value of businesses increases, but as a percentage of that, it goes down. So an 18 mil, we're at 19 mils or so right now in Hancock, so we don't have to go out. Some of the districts are going on, they're collecting that set amount of money, but now instead of it being an 18 mil, it cuts down to 17 mil or 16 mil. And what the schools are doing, the districts are doing, are trying to capture that full 18 mils that we're allowed.
Yeah, periodically it comes up. It's just kind of a perfunctory thing.
Exactly.
And
By law, we have to go back out to adjust it to capture that 18.
Yep. So that's something that a lot of voters will be seeing.
Yes,
Hancock voters will not. But thank you for the explanation on it, because I'm sure a lot of people are looking at it and going, what the heck is this? It's been a long time since we initiated that and talked about it at length. Let's talk about what the Hancock School District is asking for. You actually have two millage proposals on the ballot. Let's start with the one for the bond sale.
So the bond sale, we're in a unique situation, right? So as bonds over the years, they come to be getting paid off. And we've got around a little over 4 mils that are being paid off. So right now, and I'll go with last year because we don't have the current year's evaluations yet, we're at 8.9 mils. So now 4 mils of that, or 4.07, are going to be paid off. So that's going to drop us down quite a bit. So most places go out when they see that amount being paid off, they will go out and try to capture that back up to the 8.9.
So the full amount.
Ask for the full amount. We're not in that situation. We need some money, but our board is very cognizant about what's going on in the community and what's going on in the economy. And we figured we don't need to have that amount, so we're only going out for that 1.12 of that. So this is a rare situation, right? So where you are going to go out and you can vote yes for something, and you'll actually experience a decrease in taxes. So the way that works out, from that 8.9, we're dropping down 4.07. We're asking for only 1.2 or 1.12 of that, which means that taxpayer is going to get a roughly, and you hear this estimated a lot, an estimated 2.95 mil decrease by voting yes.
So the property taxes would still go down a little bit.
Yes.
And you would do then a bond sale, and this money would come in and pay off the bonds. Interest rates are going up. Does that affect your bond sale?
It won't necessarily affect the bond sale itself, because remember, we're only going out for 1.2 mils. We're asking for a fixed amount of money.
Okay, so if the interest rate on the bonds has to go up, you wind up having to sell a little bit lower value in bonds, I suppose, then?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, what are you going to use that money for?
Well, and that's a great question. That's why we're not going out for a lot. You know, so many people, if you look around the state, school districts are going out for a lot in bonds, and they're putting up the most... One that happens most often is they're going out for a massive athletic complex. We don't need to do that because we've got the arrangement with our athletics, and we work with Finlandia using their field and of that sort. What we are you going to use it for is three main areas. One of them is safety, so we're looking at redoing our parking lots, kind of like what Houghton did, for flow. So pickup and drop-off is a big, big thing. Busing is a big thing. We're separating our busing pickup and drop-off, both at the high school and at the elementary school. At the elementary school, we're going to be cutting our parking lot in half. And there's a walkway up on one side that we're going to make into a bus entrance and exit. So the buses will use half the parking lot, and the parents will use half the parking lot. So we'll be dividing it up and making it much more efficient and much safer as far as pickup drop-off goes.
Do people understand how risky and confused it gets, particularly for student pickup on buses and that kind of thing? I remember Lott Schools, this must have been 10 years or so ago, they sent a couple of teachers out to track what was happening over a few weeks at their bus thing. And the report came back in. I was at the Board of Education meeting, and they said, you know, this near miss, kids run out. And it was scary as all get out.
Right.
This is a situation that's fraught with potential for problems.
It is, and we have control over our students as they go out, and any parent that picks up and drops off will understand exactly what we're talking about, because there's so many people coming through. But we control the students, but we can't control necessarily the flow of traffic in an open parking lot situation.
Well, and you can control the students while they leave the building. Once they get a certain degree out, they're pretty much on their own.
Right. And it's better that we separate the busing. And we've really seen this, and you and I were talking before the broadcast, we've really seen it this year when you have to start cutting routes. I mean, now you add a whole group of parents that have to come in.
Oh, my word,
yes. And pick us up. So that will be another conversation, but that's going to be one key piece of it. The other two key pieces, obviously, that we're dealing with are health. Our kitchens are aging. Everything's functional right now, but as we try to fix these things, there aren't parts anymore because we've had a lot of this equipment for a long time. So we need to revamp that and help with that, because we are serving a lot more. We saw that during COVID, where we ended up making not only meals for our students, but for the whole community. And that took a wear and tear on all of our equipment.
It's really like we forced our school districts into the restaurant business.
Oh, they really did. And that's, you know, and all the federal money pumped down, and the most logical place was to come through us, because we were built to serve students and younger folks. So that was another piece. And then the other piece is, we're going out for a lot of grants. You've probably heard we've taken in around $500,000 worth of, or been awarded $500,000 worth of grants last year. A lot in STEM, a lot through our library, which also is focusing on serving our community using technology in STEM. So we need to update our and create STEM labs inside of our building. So as we bring the equipment in, we need a spot for it as we use that for our students. And it's unique because all of our students are being served through these programs. And it's not just an after-school special like FIRST Robotics. It's part of the programming. It's part of our elective cycle, part of our specials in elementary.
Those of us of a certain age perhaps don't understand all of this.
Right.
But on the other hand, those of us of a certain age who have grandkids who are in school do get a bit of a glimpse of the way different types of things that they do in high school now compared to when I was in high school, and I'll admit that was the early 70s.
It is, and it really is the future. And, you know, like with our manufacturing program that we've got going on in our high school through prime school designation, and we've got a lot of robotics going on and engineering activities going on in the elementary. But I want to explain that to people, too, because so often we talk about technology and we talk about a cell phone, how great it is. We talk about, it has been talked about online learning, how great it is. But STEM is not, it's more about the application of the common cores, the mathematics, the science. Technology is a big piece of it, but it's this application. Where do we apply it in all these different spots throughout our lives?
None of that happens without a thorough understanding of the basics.
Oh, exactly.
You have to know math. You have to know science. You have to know all of these foundational things to build that STEM and all of the robotics and all of that kind of stuff on top of.
Right. And at no time in our history, I would say, is it so important to have this, because we're talking about the NAEP scores just came out. So the NAEP scores, these are tests that kids take around the world, the measure math, science, ELA, most notably math and science. And we've seen, because of what we experienced in the last couple of years with the pandemic, that the scores have dropped.
Yeah.
Nationwide.
Yep. And that was expected.
It was expected. But we also know that we're talking about Generation Z, and this younger generation, they learn with their hands. They have to try it out. So you can teach them a math problem, but you have to show them immediately how it's applied to some real-world settings, whether it be STEM, manufacturing, all these other different categories. They have to use it in a way, in lots of different ways. It can't just be on a piece of paper anymore with a worksheet. They have to go out and apply it. We see people using geometry in the trades. We see people using algebra in the trades, but they're using it in real-world applications. And that's how kids soak it up. That's how they catch back up, by applications of it. And that's what we are asking for.
All right, Dr. Steve Patchen, the superintendent of the Hancock School District, my guest on this segment of Copper Country Today. That was question one that you'll see on the ballot if you're in the Hancock School District, the bond issue with the millage of somewhat less than you've been paying.
Yes.
The second one is the sinking fund millage. This became a thing a few years ago, and I began to see it popping up with school districts, that all of a sudden, hey, we're going to, we just want some money coming in so we can do things that come along that need to be done, and we don't have to cut other areas to do it, basically.
Right. And sinking funds are kind of unique, and I'll compare it to a house, since we were just talking about homes before the broadcast. It's, if you spend money to keep things up, they'll last a whole lot longer.
Yeah.
And we see the same thing with our cars, right? If you take it into a car wash and you continuously wash it, wash all the salt off, it's going to take a lot longer to rust, and it's going to last you a lot longer. You change the oil, it's going to last a lot longer. Same thing with schools and facilities. If you replace the roof when you have problems, it's going to be in much better shape. Otherwise, you're going to get leaks, and it's going to cause structure damage, right? So we have the same thing with schools. We have so much to keep up because we have so many kids coming through it every day with 180 days. And now we're actually going into summer programming with five different districts coming in as part of this programming, which is another question we should talk about. But if we have to keep it up, and the sinking fund is to fix things. And it's not to put additions on, it's to fix things. It's to fix wiring when you have problems. It's to fix a roof when you have problems. When you have problems out front, back to safety, we had shifting because of our winters and stuff, of all of our cement out in front of the entrances. We have to fix that. We have doors that need to be fixed because we have salt coming in, we have sand coming in that wear on the doors, and yet we have to have those doors because of safety. So these are all the things that we spend money on with the sinking fund, and we have to have that for that to make sure that we extend the life of our facilities and keep them safe.
Well, and as a longtime homeowner, I would say that you probably save some money by getting ahead of problems as they're developing, if you've got the ability to do that, instead of getting in a situation saying, oh gosh, the roof is leaking like a sieve, I guess we're going to have to wait and address that in next year's budget.
Exactly. And this, you know, the longer we can extend our property so we don't have to go out and build new buildings, the better off we're going to be. And that's what this helps us with. And this is, allows us to use the money that we're getting for the state for operations and to pay our teachers and
now,
make sure we're quality staff.
Now, this sinking fund has been in effect for a while. This is a renewal of the fund?
Yeah, and that, the proper word that we're told to use, and that's what you're seeing in our fact sheet, is restoration of it. So okay. they've already been paying it. It's 1.5 mils and it just continues on. So again, you've already been paying it. You won't see an increase in your taxes. But in the long run, we're going to be asking for less because our facilities are going to be in good shape.
So that's on the ballot as well. And again, correct. This is for all voters in the Hancock School District. Yep. You'll have these two things to vote on and hopefully people are understanding that and going to make good choices.
Well, and you can vote yes for both of them and you can still get a tax decrease, which is and that I've answered that question to so many people because they don't get it, because how can you vote yes for two things and still get a decrease? We're in a unique situation where you can with this.
Well, and that's a fortunate situation to be in because I know school districts that are not in that situation.
Correct.
And so let's talk about a few other things as long as you're here, because you guys are facing some really significant challenges right now. We've hit on a couple of them already. The COVID situation, students are behind at this point, and that was expected because they were out of school for a period of time. School attendance was limited in other cases. How do we get our kids caught up?
Well, I think it's going to – that's such a great question. I don't think there's a single answer for it. I think, you know, we're experiencing a few things. We're experiencing the social-emotional piece where kids have been kind of isolated and they've got to develop those social skills back that they may have lost or that may have decreased. So it caused some anxiety for not being around other kids, especially in the elementary. And so when the kids come back, they're not sure how to act.
So it's not just a grades issue. It's a developmental issue as well.
It's a developmental issue. So that's one component. We know that learning loss is a component. You know, some people think that if they miss an hour of school, then it's only going to take an hour of school to catch up. Well, that's not really the way it works. With kids, as they develop through the years, there's windows of development in the brain development. Early L, they're sponges. And that K through two, you can teach them anything and they'll want more.
Yeah.
And then as they move up and stuff, they get into a situation in middle school. So now they're not sure what's applicable. They're not sure about themselves. They're going through the cycles where it's like they define themselves by pointing out differences in everybody else in middle school. But once you get through that, there's developments in the prefrontal cortex and programming that we do that helps them develop that. But once you get through that, you miss that window of their own psychological and physical development. So that's not an answer to all of this, but the point being is the answer is we need to look at their social-emotional programs, which we are with our social workers and different types of leadership programming that we're adding in there. But the other thing we need to do is extend the school year, but make it fun. And that's where our summer programs have come in. And for the last 2 years, 2 years ago, we partnered with two districts, Lake Linden and Chassel. Last year, we added Stanton and Jeffers to it. And this next year, we just put a grant in that expands that program for 6 weeks in the mornings, Monday through Thursday. K-5 focuses on, again, the STEM application we've talked about, but we've also added a middle school and high school for next year that focuses in on this manufacturing, the use of additive manufacturing, the 3D printing. And we've also added mechatronics into it and all sorts of neat applications, even graphic design. So, again, the application of these cores, it's going to happen in the summertime, but this next year is something unique in this. It's grant-funded, which hopefully we'll find out about in December, but we've added a partnership with the higher eds, Gogebic Community College, Finlandia University, Michigan Tech University, and Northern Michigan University. So now we've got some very unique perspectives where kids not only learn about the application and building stuff from design to creation to even marketing of it, but we've got these higher ed institutions pitching in to show what's possible that they could go to next to help enhance that.
Are our buildings equipped for summer use? I mean, we're fortunate in the Copper Country. We don't have a lot of real bake-out days
right.
in the summer, but still, a lot of those buildings can heat up on a warm day. Do we have air conditioning? Can we put in air conditioning? Do we need air conditioning?
Well, if we were to go to a full-blown day-long, we would need it. Right now, ours only operate in the morning for that purpose.
Okay.
The one nice thing that we have is we've made incredible changes to our ventilation systems during COVID, and that's one positive thing that came out of it. And one of it was our increasing our airflow using these things called RFDs. So most HVAC systems are either on or off, right? And they can't control the middle degrees of moving the air around. The other thing that we added is CO2 sensors. So these things, as classes move from different places, they sense that because they increase CO2 emissions. And our systems are linked up to a computer. Well, it will change the airflow. So if they're all in the gym working on a project, the airflow increases. Where they go to a lab, the airflow increases. So we allow us to move that air around in the morning. We also can turn the air over for overnight so they can come in, and it's going to be very cool because up in the Copper Country, we have cool air in the evening.
Yeah.
So we can adjust all of that without having to add air conditioning.
So let's talk staffing issues.
Yes.
Because I know that's been a problem. Starting with teachers, there's been a teacher shortage.
Right.
How have you been able to fill the classrooms?
Well, I think we've had luck because, and we talked a little bit about before, about this area people like to come to. So 2 years ago, we tried to get teachers, as an example, for our summer programs. We advertised to come up here, stay in Finlandia, and you can stay in the dorms, and then you can teach with us. That worked out really well. How does that work out, and why do I mention that? Because then they go back and tell their friends what a great experience they had.
Ah.
So now we are actually marketing Hancock is, if you look at some of our advertisements, we're marketing about what you do after school. You want to move up here because you can ski. Where else can you go where you can go to a ski hill, either Mount Bohemia or Mount Ripley, right after work?
Yeah.
And hop on the slopes without having to fly anywhere, without having to drive a couple of hours. And you can do that every single day if you wanted to. So we're making that placemaking. Where else can you go and stay in the summertime where you don't have to move anywhere, and you can go fishing out on a great lake? You can go stream fishing, you can go kayaking, you can do all these different things, hiking, mountain biking up in Copper Harbor. And we're finding that a lot of people here are moving here because that's what they want.
How about substitute teachers? Where are we?
That's a tougher situation. We're starting to see an increase right now, but substitutes are a lot tougher. It used to be our substitute teachers that we feasted off of were retired teachers.
Yeah.
But now, with COVID, and a lot of them haven't come back. We still have some of them. We still have some retired, but now people are doing different things. We're actually seeing a lot of younger people now coming in. We see a lot of tech students that will substitute on their days off. And we'll see guys like Mitch Lake, who used to be a broadcaster.
Yep.
Who tells me
he loves it.
He does, and he's great with the kids, and he's coming in all the time. So I think we're seeing a lot more diverse groups coming in, but we still don't have enough.
All right. Bus drivers, because I get the emails from your district. I get the emails from Houghton schools as well.
Right.
And I've been getting these notes to parents, because we're on the listserv,
yep,
coming through that bus route number 2 won't be operating for the next few days. We don't have drivers.
Right. And that is a terrible shortage. Part of it is, you know, the old way we used to do it. So we have a shortage of labor area-wide, and we were just talking the shortage of labor just in broadcasting.
Yeah.
And it's across the board. So when you have that, people are looking for good-paying jobs, full day, 40 hours a week with benefits. Well, remember, bus drivers right now are getting about $20 an hour. And with lamers, I believe it's $20 an hour for their runs. So that could be 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon with nothing in between.
Halftime and staggered through the day. So it basically sucks up your full day, but right, you only get paid for half of it.
Right. And I think, as we talked about earlier before we came on, is we're all looking at a way that we can use our teachers to make runs so that it's a full-time job. And this is additional money for it. I've got a teacher right now that drives charter buses. So it's nice for the kids. He's not certified in school buses, but if we need a sports run at night, he'll drive for Lamers, but Lamers has to give us a charter.
Well, and I've talked to some coaches who say they're in the process of getting their licenses so that they can bring their teams out because they need drive. Somebody has to drive them.
Right, and I think we're going to have to go back to the old way, too, with some of our folks and facilities and things like that, that this is part of the job. And there's a lot of discussion. I think you're going to see changes. The old way was a good way. And I think you're going to see districts start moving back to that somehow, some way.
Okay, bringing your own buses back and not contracting it out. There was a reason we went this route 18, 19 years ago. Things have changed.
The landscaping has changed.
So Dr. Steve Patchen, superintendent of the Hancock School District. Again, remember the two millage issues that Hancock voters will be looking at is the bond issue and the restoration
of the sinking fund.
I want to get my terminology correct.
Right.
Steve, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for your time, Todd.